Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at EricTalkStros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team, every day. Brett, where can you find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
All right. Well, the Astros did lose tonight. Unfortunately, it was a brutal scene in the sixth inning. We'll have to talk about that. There was a whole bunch of boos, and Zach Greinke, once again, he struggled. He did not pitch more than four innings. And so we'll have to talk about this and more on today's episode of the Locked On Astros podcast. And guys, if you want to know about the prospects, and by the way, the minor league season start, we'll have to kind of talk about what happened. I know the Sugar Land Skeeters did not start playing yet, but Corpus Christi Hooks did start playing. And guess who was playing shortstop? Pedro Leon, and he did make a little error. And it's funny seeing all the different people at different positions because Leon is playing shortstop. But we'll have to talk about that and more, plus the Yankees fans getting all pissed off at the Astros and turning their back on the Astros like that really hurts them. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Yes, don't forget, you can get Locked On Astros on Podcast Nap Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast, Locked On Astros. All right, so, Brett, let's go and get right into it. What were your overall thoughts about the Yankees fans?
Well, I mean, it's basically what you come to expect. The F Altuve chant started back in 2019. They've done that before. That's like an old chant. I mean, they had 2 years to warm up to this spot. You would think they would come up with something a little more inventive. I thought it was creative that they were yelling at Kyle Tucker, "We don't know who you are," which is, you know, pretty funny. You saw your trash can signs. I saw some fans that had signs that said Altuve. It's kind of the same. It's just the same crap, different day. Well, Yankees fans are going to jeer. They're going to hate on whatever team comes in, but they finally got their chance. This storied franchise of 27 World Series championships, Eric. And they the house that Ruth built, Mickey Mantle, Yogi Berra, Joe DiMaggio, all the Yankee greats. And yet they focus on 2017 because it's finally their chance to get even and to let them know that you're a bunch of cheats and your ring means nothing. And well, it didn't mean anything to the Astros because their play on the field sucked today. They looked like an abject failure out of the box, outside a couple solo home runs. So yeah, they're going to boo. They're going to do their stuff. I'm just glad they didn't throw anything on the field. I'm glad they didn't take it too far. I think in the end, maybe a lot of those people, I'd like to give them the benefit of the doubt because I'm typically a positive guy, that they do know that life is more than baseball. But like Stay said from Locked On Yankees, a lot of Yankees fans, they take it way too seriously. So yeah, the F Altuve chant is old. I heard from a Yankees fan who communicates with me on the regular on Twitter, so that his friends were there and they were saying Houston a-holes instead of Houston Astros. So there were all kinds of expletives being thrown around. Sure hope the kids weren't there at the game, mom and dad, because they learned some new words today.
Yeah, I was looking at a lot of the signs. Somebody had Oscar the Altuve grouch in the trash can. Then somebody had a sign that says pin the ball on Altuve the donkey. Then there's just a whole bunch of different stuff. And then I think it was Andy Martino was like, guys, you do understand that Jose Altuve was the one who had the least amount with the trash can bannings. So you are basically, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It feels like whatever, but, this is Eric Cubs. I know he's one of your favorite, Barstool, sports personalities.
Oh, love, love the Hubs.
He said, I don't care. There's only five 2017 Astros on his team. Three of them are Correa, Altuve, and Bregman. We're supposed to forget and give them a pass in their first trip back to the Bronx. They will be properly greeted. And yes, they were doing the F Altuve chants. They were doing the F the Astros. And they were doing it felt like a playoff atmosphere there.
No, it didn't.
But for the first three innings, then they're like, oh, you know what? Let's go and drink our beer. Let's go and have some hot dogs. Let's go and talk to our friends. And it kind of like during the Yankees at bats, it kind of calmed down a little bit. Well, and then when Altuve came up, oh, no, screw you.
Well, here's the thing. And I mean, Stace gave a pretty good explanation of it last night on our podcast. They hate Altuve because he has been such a pain in their ass for his entire career. He has done nothing but cause grief. Carlos Correa, who typically hits well historically in Yankee Stadium, did not hit well. And like Johnny Munoz is saying, yes, too many walks. There are just too many walks. Man, Zach Greinke, I don't know. This is another short outing. Another outing where he is. Now, the umpire didn't help. Now, I'm not going to blame an umpire, but his ball and strike calling was horrendous. I mean, absolutely absurd. Even for the Yankees, even for Hermaine, when he was up there on the mound, there were some pitches I was like, wait, how did he not call that a strike, or how did he not call that a ball? It was, I mean, the umpires are at an all-time level sucking hardcore right now.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more in a little bit, but that sixth inning when Brian Abreu came in, I know Brandon Belak kind of had two runners on. I believe Brian Abreu at some point, there was two outs. But when you come in and your first batter, the first pitch, I believe, was totally in the strike zone. And then the third pitch was totally in the strike zone. And the umpire kept on calling them balls. And I remember this next batter, he kept on calling them strikes, and the umpire would look towards third base. And I'm like, who is he looking at? It's like he kept on trying to, he was like looking at somebody. Oh, I had to call that strike. It's like there's some, it's like.
Maybe the Yankees are cheating with an extra umpire in the stands. Maybe they're inventing ways to cheat. I'm totally joking about that.
We're kidding here, but it's just crazy here. So, by the way, guys, how do you like our new background? This is part of our new changes at the Locked On Astros podcast. This is something that we're supposed to be unveiling a little bit later this week, but we did get permission to break it out. And I was super excited about this, so I asked permission. I'm like, hey, can we do this? And they said, sure, go ahead. Why not? So I'm super excited about this. There's some big things going on with the Locked On Astros podcast. And thank you, as always, for Johnny and Trevor and all those people that listen to Locked On Astros podcast every day. And hopefully big things are coming for us. So speaking of which, let's talk a little bit about Built Bar.
Okay, Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the business. If you've listened to our podcast before, you've heard me talk about it. And I don't promote something that I'm not sold on. If you look at my fridge right now, H-Town Wheelhouse's fridge, I've got a ton of Built Bars. We've got coconut brownie chunk. We've got double chocolate. We've got salted caramel. You name it, we got it. I slam one to two of these bad boys a day. Why? Because I'm healthy conscious. I'm trying to lose and maintain, well, not maintain my weight. I'm trying to lose it. And I can have one before a workout, during a workout, or during the day. It gives you energy. It is wrapped in 100% chocolate. It's basically like eating a candy bar. And you have, most of these flavors have 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. Why would you go with something else that gives you 400 calories, packs on the sugar, and doesn't help you maintain anything? Right now, if you order and get that raspberry or mint brownie, whatever you like, before Mother's Day, Sunday, May 9th, if you don't know what to get mom, get her a box of Built Bars. Go to BuiltBar.com and use a promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, to get 15% off your first order. Promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
Speaking of Mother's Day, do you have a good suggestion for somebody that maybe didn't get anything for their wife or maybe their mother for Mother's Day?
I'm glad you're asking because this episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring light into your life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, ideal for engagement, for Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. Go to BlueNile.com if you are in the look for a Mother's Day collection ring. I checked these out and I was blown away myself by the beautiful and simple ring from Lola Finehurst. These are impeccable and they're unique. You're not going to find them anywhere else. You're not going to go to the mall or go to a kiosk and find a ring like this. If you're on the hunt for the perfect ring, unique that she'll love, then go to the internet and search the words 10 by 10 only at BlueNile.com.
All right, guys, I don't want to be one of these podcasters that just says, oh, yeah, let's fire Joe Neves. And that was a two-pitch walk. Somebody says that. But basically, that was a two-pitch walk. Unfortunately, it was a situation, and it didn't help. I feel like Dusty Baker keeps on bringing in Brian Abreu in these situations. And for some reason, he has a lot of faith in him. I know he has great stuff. And I think eventually this guy could be one of your kind of setup, maybe one of your consistent setup guys. But right now, he's still trying to find his way. And the thing is that Brian Abreu made his pitch. He made his freaking pitch and he got the ground ball to third base. Unfortunately, bad luck happened. Alex Bregman could not make the play. He threw the ball away. And then those three runs scored. And then Martin Maldonado, unfortunately, got hit by a freaking
Rougned Odor.
Freaking, yeah. Still the ghost of the Rangers past.
Well, here's the thing. A, he didn't slide. I guess he didn't slide because he didn't think he needed to. He should have slid. Number two, this ball that Bregman threw. Bregman is a go-getter. He is a master at the bare hand, but he should have. And of course, this is a split-second decision. So for me sitting on the couch, it's easy for me to say, you shouldn't have thrown that, but he shouldn't have thrown that. I don't think Bregman makes that play twice in a row and makes that throw a second time in a row. Because, and then another thing that that a lot of people don't talk about is Yuli should have gone ahead and pulled himself off the bag. Yuli's trying to stay on the base to keep his foot there to get that out. But if you can't get that out, keep the ball in front of you so you limit the damage. And so that's what he needs to do. This is a very good defensive team. They made Little League mistakes tonight. A friend of mine texted me right after that. This looks like Little League. Hey, it's good to know that our boys aren't the only ones that make errors on the field. And it is a game that you can't make too many mistakes. And the Yankees have been hitting. They didn't even need to hit the ball hard. They hit the ball with soft contact that inning, dinks and dunks here and there, and they scored. I mean, you cleared the bases with this. You cleared three runs. It was basically a three-run double, but not counted as a three-run double because of the errors. So things fell apart, and they just weren't outside a couple solo home runs and a couple hits. They just didn't have any answers. So in all facets of the game, they should have lost this game despite the umpires.
Yeah. So speaking of which, what the play in that inning where Martin Maldonado was injured, apparently after the game, they said that it was just a little contusion, nothing major. There's no concussion. I know that what happened was Odor hit him. He basically kneed him in the shoulder and possibly maybe with his feet or with cleats in his head or something. But apparently there's no serious injuries to report. So he should be available. I think he was going to get the day off anyway tomorrow. So you may not see him in the lineup tomorrow, but you'll definitely see him catching Lance McCullers in game three of the series. But Jason Castro did come in and get a hit. But unfortunately, the Astros do lose this game. But looking at the start of the game, I don't know how Zach Greinke was able to get out of that first inning with only allowing those three runs. He just looked like he was totally overmatched today. He just looked like it's kind of like us being both teachers. You come with not knowing your lesson plans. You don't know what you're going to teach. You're just like, you know what? I'm not saying that's what happened. That's just what it looked like. It just looked like he wasn't prepared for a situation. I think the fans booing. I don't mean Zach Greinke is not the type of guy who's going to really. It just seemed like nothing was working for Zach Greinke today. He walked four batters in this game. I think that's more than he's walked a lot. And but this is the second straight game that he can't go more than four innings.
Yeah, and that was the key. That was the key that we talked about. Greinke has to go at least five innings. Hell, I mean, Eric, when he threw that 72 mile an hour curveball and it just got crushed out of the stadium, it was like, well, no duh, they're going to key in on that. And I don't like this trend, Eric. This is the third start this season that he's gone this short of an outing. And I'm not saying Greinke's done, but man, tonight I had thoughts. I wonder if the trade deadline came around. I don't know. Maybe he's got too much salary on the books to offer him for a trade. But I mean, if this is what we're going to get, why not post his value on, hey, he's got 16 years experience. He's a great starting. I don't know. Like, I was that frustrated with them tonight, you know?
The Astros could trade him, but what message are you sending the Astros fans if you trade him? The Astros would have to be at the bottom of the AL West at that time. They're not going to do that. They're still, unless they're just the bottom of the barrel team, they're not going to do that. If anything, they're going to try to add at the trade deadline, maybe a reliever, maybe a number five starter. But by that time, you're going to have Framber Valdez back. And Zach Greinke is going through a time.
You said that time. You were like trying to like growing pains. No, he's too old. No, he's sucking right now. He's going through a period of suckage. And in baseball, that happens. But Eric, this team is under 500. We don't have the luxury of waiting for a guy to have 12 starts to get warmed up. This isn't, this isn't some abbreviated season. Framber Valdez couldn't come back soon enough. It is imperative that we get the win tomorrow, because I think that the tough game is against McCullers. I mean, with McCullers and Cole. And Jared Cole. Yeah. Tonight's game was the exact opposite of what I thought would happen. I mean, I predicted a 9-1 victory by the Astros. I have never been more wrong. That's why I don't bet a whole lot, unless I use, Bet Online. But, that's a whole nother thing.
Hey, Brett, what is Bet Online?
See, Bet Online is the sportsbook experts. Like, you don't want to depend on me for your sports betting. Go to Bet Online. If you want to know which horse to come up in the Preakness Stakes, you need to go to betonline.ag. Baseball season's in full swing. Hey, how many home runs is Yordan going to hit or not hit? How many games is Greinke going to go four innings or less? It's out there. They have all the props bets, NHL, NBA. If your NBA team is in the playoffs, unlike the Rockets, or who are the Rockets going to pick with the number one draft pick with the worst record in the NBA? Don't sit on the sidelines.
They're not guaranteed on that.
Then you can bet on them getting the number one draft pick. So don't sit on the sidelines. Get in the game. Go ahead and prep for your team's playoff run. Head to the website and use the promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus when you sign up. BetOnline.ag. They are your sportsbook experts. I actually made some money and won a few bets during the Super Bowl, so I know that it works. Go check it out.
All righty. So everybody keeps on saying, well, y'all are being soft on Straw. He sucks. Here's the situation. Who are you going to put out there? The Astros have put themselves in a situation where they have no other options. I mean, are you going to put Pedro Leon out there? He's playing shortstop right now for Corpus Christi Hooks. Today, he went 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. He made one error, a throwing error. And so, he has a dynamic throwing arm, but he's
he has a dynamic shortstop. Throwing arm that can't throw accurately.
So he's playing shortstop right now. So the Astros just don't have many options right now to play center field. Ronnie Dawson's not going to be playing center field. You can have Chaz McCormick play center field, but he's not batting that much better. So the Astros just have put themselves in a situation they don't have any other options.
Miles Straw is your guy. Like, coming into this game, his last 10 games, he's hitting 270. That's not hitting the cover off the ball, but he has actually been hitting better. He has been getting key hits when we covered that last show. He's been getting hits and two out. But nobody was getting the hits tonight. I mean, it would have been beautiful for Michael Brantley to hit that shot to right field up in the suites and have two or three men on base. That would have changed the whole trajectory of this game. And thoughts on Kyle Tucker. I do think he needs a rest. Kyle Tucker is mentally tanked right now. I don't think his head is in the game. I think he's discouraged. I mean, he hit into another double play tonight. It just seems like he's not in sync. Kyle Tucker could use some time off, but who do you put out there with him? I would probably put Elidnis Diaz out there, because to me, he's been swinging a pretty decent bat, Eric. He's been pretty dependable out there.
Yeah, so one thing that I was upset about with Miles Straw today was his slide. He totally beat that throw to second base, but because when he's sliding to second base or third base or wherever, he kind of digs his feet into the ground and then kind of kicks up and then puts his feet down. Well, that's not – I mean, I haven't played baseball since high school, and even then I wasn't very good. But I do remember the coach saying you're supposed to kind of keep your feet up and then hit the dirt, like, closer to the bag.
He should have gone in head first on that slide. You know what I'm saying? Why did he slide feet first on that?
Just because that his momentum was going that way. But okay. It just he for somebody that says, oh, I'm going to lead the league in stolen bases – and for somebody with all his speed, he's got to learn how to steal bases. And I remember AJ Hinch saying, yeah, we got to teach George Springer how to run into walls so he doesn't injure himself. They've got to teach Miles Straw how to steal bases without getting caught. Because, yes, you can have all the speed in the world, but if you don't know how to slide, like, how many times have we seen him try to slide in second base and he gets stuck? Like halfway, like 10 feet
now,
away.
From you know, in his defense, he is, say, 5 of his 7 attempts. So he hasn't been caught every single time.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm just talking about the other attempts. I'm not talking about just the stolen bases, but just like just running.
No, I
like,
understand.
Trying to break up a double play and that type of stuff.
Here's the problem. Here is the tough spot that Miles Straw is in. He is the guy in that spot. The pressure is on him. So everything he does is under a microscope. Every little mistake, every miscue on a fly ball, every time he grounds into a double play, every time he slides wrong, we're going to be looking at it and we're going to be analyzing it. Why? Because he is the guy. And I trust him. He's a major league player, but you've got to go out and perform. It's not what you can do. It's what you are doing. That's the bottom line. Johnny asked an interesting question. Can Tucker please bunt to the left side of the infield, in which, by the way, there's no infielder there? You know, Joey Gallo made pitchers look like fools. I believe it was last year he hit us. He hit against the shift and got a bunch of singles against us two or three times. I say a bunch. That's a lot for Joey Gallo. These guys either got to learn to play the shift, bunt the shift, or we got to ban this stupid thing. I'm sorry. I'm so freaking done with the shift. Like, that is not how baseball is intended to be played. I'm old school. Screw the shift, man. I hate it. I freaking hate the shift. I'm just letting you know right now, it sucks. I don't like it. It's dumb. It's stupid. Okay, take that. Three things I hate: Satan, running across the road with scissors in your hand, and the freaking shift. I hate it with a passion.
I'm sure there's a story there about this.
I just didn't want to get explicit, so I had to keep it kid friendly.
All righty, so let's go ahead and move on from that. But Reggie Jackson came out with the interview, and he was talking about the Astros cheating scandal. Mm. And I'm not going to read the entire quote, but he said that every team was doing it. More than half of the teams were getting signs. So if you want to blame somebody, blame whoever you want to blame. So
you're the man, Reggie. I love it. Freaking Mr. October. Like, dude, we've had other people say that. Logan Morrison said it. Who else? There's other major. Dude, we know it. Okay. Yankees fans, we know it. We know you had watches. We know you had center field cameras. But it's not about that. It doesn't matter. Carlos Beltran literally came from that organization and said, you guys are behind the times. You guys need to get with it. Everybody else is doing this. Now, oh no, Wheelhouse is saying the Astros, it's okay that they cheat because everybody else is. No, you break the rules. You know, they lost their GM. They lost their coach. They lost a bunch of draft picks. They paid the price. And the fact that they still have their rings, that's on the MLBPA. So stop being pissed off at the Astros. It's not their fault. The MLBPA is the reason why they still have that ring. So suck it on that one, because I'm tired of hearing about it. You know what? It is over with. You can boo them. That's fine. You can do that. But Eric, you talked earlier how the negative energy like died out. You know why? Because it takes a lot more energy to be negative and to be hateful than it does to be joyful. Like, why wouldn't you concentrate on the fact that your team's beating the Astros instead of beating them down? You know, that's just negative bullcrap energy. So they can keep that up in New York, because we don't need that down here in Texas.
All right, I got a Zach Greinke quote. Nice. So this is after his struggles in the first inning, and he said, well, I just kind of stopped trying to throw hard and just tried to locate some pitches. They still got some guys on base. Wasn't the best, but I guess I did get better after the first inning. So Dusty Baker, on the reception from the Yankees fans, he said, nothing surprised me. At least there wasn't any violence. And Martin Maldonado, he said he'll be all right. He's a bit sore. He said it felt like being in a car wreck. We dodged a bullet. That's a plus. But he's not playing tomorrow. We already talked about that. So, DJ LeMahieu on the Astros, he said, I don't think people will turn the page on that anytime soon. And we saw people outside of Yankee Stadium in Oscar the Grouch costumes, and we saw people who cut holes in perfectly good trash cans to just wear it like they're gonna let you go in a ballpark with a trash can. Oh yeah, Boomer, that's gonna work. And so then we saw this lady apparently on ESPN, and they spent, I didn't watch ESPN, I watch ATT, but apparently she spent like all this time blowing up this inflatable trash can, and they just, the security just took it away from her. And so this guy was complaining, oh yeah, I was outside waiting in line and I had this Astros shirt on and they just took it away from me. And that's just not fair, MLB. I should have a right to express myself.
Yeah. Because there's so much, you know, because the Astros just, they did so much damage. How about the Yankees focus on 2018 when you got beat by the Red Sox? How about the Yankees focus on 2020 when you got beaten the ALDS? How about you focus on the fact that we give you a 7-0 win at Minute Maid Park in 2019 and you fail to produce and you can't even win a game 6 and force a game 7? Oh, get out of here with that Mickey Mouse bullcrap. Y'all got beat 15, 17, 18, and 19 by who? By us. Pretty much, there you go, end of story. Not 18, but you know, 15, 17, and 19. So until you beat us in the playoffs, yeah, the only reason why this is a rivalry is because you guys are down and we are up, period, end of story. Win the regular season, win the consolation prize. We'll meet you in the playoffs. We'll see who ends up top then.
Okay, something that we haven't really discussed on podcasts, and I guess I didn't really realize it, is that Jose Altuve is slumping right now. It has nothing to do with what happened today and the fact that they're saying F you, Altuve, or F Altuve and all that, but he's in a 1-for-24 slump. I know he came back from the testing positive for COVID-19, and he came back all gamebusters and just crushing the ball. Now, all of a sudden, he's just he's struggling. That's fine. But we need, if he's going to be a leadoff hitter, we know that he could be one of the best leadoff hitters in the game. He needs to get out of this little slump. And unfortunately, looking up and down the lineup, I know Brantley had the home run today. And then you had Bregman hit that home run. And I don't know if you saw my tweet, but I put out there that Bregman banged that ball into the trash can in the bullpen.
I saw the bang reference. You like those. You like putting out bangers, as the kids say. But yeah, Eric, his last multi-hit game was against Seattle on April 26th, where he was 3-for-5. And it's just, I hate to see Altuve struggling. He's to me, he's not swinging at the right pitches. He's either A, not seeing the ball well, or he's pressing. And we've seen that when he does go on a slump, he presses. And when he presses, he gets outside of himself. He needs to refocus. Man, it would be great to have someone go out there, shoot, put Diaz on second for a game. Let Altuve rest. I mean, or hell, let Altuve rest during the Gerrit Cole game. Why the freak not? I mean, you know, put Carlos Correa in that leadoff spot. Put Bregman in the leadoff spot. Give Altuve is going to need a day off, I think. And I mean, there's not a day off. I mean, is there a day off Thursday this week before they play the Blue Jays?
Yeah, we had a day off on Monday, so there's
okay.
No day off.
Okay. Well, it's freaking rest them for the Blue Jays series. That's what I would do. Let them play tomorrow on that day game. Let them rest. He needs a mental break.
You're going to sit Altuve versus Gerrit Cole.
I mean, why not? He's striking everybody out now. Altuve's striking out, so why put him out there again to get beat down? I mean, I'm just saying, Eric, what's it going to hurt? He's 1-for-24. Now, if he comes out, that's – I'm just telling you, he needs a mental break. Why sit him during a weaker pitcher when you can sit him during a – I don't know, whatever. Or just tell him to bunt. Freaking bunt, dude, okay?
I think Altuve will actually excel versus somebody like Gerrit Cole. The Astros want to go out there and face somebody like Gerrit Cole versus Jordan Montgomery, who they're going to be facing today or tomorrow, depending on when you're listening to this podcast. And Luis Garcia will be on the mound. I know we talked about this, and I thought that this would be a little bit closer game, game one. I think I said 4-3.
I thought it was going to be a blowout, but the other way.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the Astros bats didn't really respond too well. So I know Jordan Montgomery, Stace wasn't too excited about that. The Astros have had some success versus him. So we'll have to see what's going to happen. Luis Garcia, he's due a win. He's pitched too well this year to not have a win so far. And his Jake Odorizzi could be coming back to the rotation at some point in the next week. So I think we'll see a good effort from Luis Garcia. I think that the whole atmosphere, maybe the Astros just felt nervous or some reason, but I think really this all comes down to the bad first inning by Zach Greinke and the sixth inning, the bad throw. Alex Bregman, he's going to make a good decision most of the time. He's going to make a good throw most of the time. Unfortunately, it was just a bad situation where he threw the ball away, three runs scored, and Martin Maldonado ended up getting hurt in that play. But, and that's it, you're going to lose some games like this. So, other than that, go ahead.
No, I was just going to end, if you're looking for something positive so we don't, you know, go to bed angry, Bregman, Alvarez, and Gurriel all were 2-for-4. They only yielded 2 RBIs total, but at least they got some hits. You just have to get a couple more players in there stringing along hits, forcing walks, not expanding the zone, getting on base, and you make that a game. I mean, the Yankees did score 7 runs, but there were opportunities for the Astros to score a lot more. They left 9 men on base, and they had 8 hits. The Yankees had 9 hits. And so when you have 9 hits and score 7 runs, you're probably going to win. When you have 8 hits and score 3 runs, you're probably not going to win.
Yeah. So, guys, I'm sure on the Locked On Today podcast, they're going to be talking about the Yankees and the triumph of win over the Houston Astros and their cheating trash cans. So why don't you listen to Peter Bukowski, and he's going to update you with all the latest news in every major sport with the help of the local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll be back tomorrow with hopefully – talking about a Astros win over the Yankees team that have never cheated. They've never done anything wrong in their past. They've never used any type of steroids or anything like that. And we will talk to you tomorrow on the Locked On Astros podcast.